Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Vaughan, and I'm talking here to Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from triathlon to road riding. And today I'm talking to Scotty Loughlin, the expert when it comes to mountain biking in Scotland. Scotty just released the second season of his video series Scotty's Scotland Showcases, where he shows people how to explore Scotland by a mountain bike. Hey man, thanks a lot for taking the time again to do the podcast with us. How is the life in Scotland at the moment, Scotty?
Thanks for having me. Well, here in Scotland, it's been a pretty wet start to the year. We've had kind of mixed conditions. A little bit of snow, but it's not stuck around for long. We actually just had some of the best riding time. It was just tacky dirt. Every day it rained a little bit, but it would dry up, and it was almost that hero dirt. So things are pretty good in Scotland right now, man. Thank you.
That sounds pretty good. So we have this podcast because you're a Scotland insider, and I'm about to leave on my holiday to Scotland. I really like to get some tips for my travels, because you did this Scotty Scotland Showcases. First season was in 2021, I think. And second season was in 2022. And both of them are amazing and a pure inspiration to come to Scotland. So what is the idea behind this Scotty Scotland Showcases?
So the idea behind it was really to inspire people to go out and ride their local area, but also to showcase Scotland. After COVID and not being able to travel, and not really being sure if I could travel to do what I would normally do for work, which is documenting mountain bike trails around the world, I decided that I wanted to focus more in on Scotland, discover what was here. Season one was all about sharing my favorite trails. So we went to Perthshire, we went to Aberdeenshire, explored the Cairngorms. I took everyone on a loop in the Northwest Highlands around Torridon. Then we went to La Cabra, which is of course famous for having the World Cup downhill, mm-hmm. and finished in the Tweed Valley, which, you know, everyone knows from hosting the Enduro World Series. It's got a wealth of mountain bike trails. It's really established worldwide. And then season two, it was a bit of a different idea. So I wanted to go on some adventures where I would get to explore more of Scotland and parts of that I hadn't been to, going in search of that big kind of alpine terrain style of riding, and also just going on some epic journeys. Like we did, the first was a 2-day epic mountain bike adventure where we took the train to the start of the trails and then rode to Fort William. Mm-hmm. And then another one was we did a 3-day adventure where we were completely off grid, self-sufficient. We stayed in a bothy one night, we stayed in a sheep shelter the next night, and we were just traveling through the mountains. It was, you know, it was slow moving, it was hard going, but some of the landscapes that we passed through and saw were just simply, simply stunning.
So from season two, from season one to two, as you said, it's completely, completely different. And if you know a little bit about Scotland, then you probably know some of the places of season one. But season two was, even for me, super mind-blowing to see what else is possible in Scotland. So what was your favorite trip of season two?
I think, well, one thing before I get into that is that we're really lucky here in Scotland to have it's a bylaw where you can basically, it's called the right to roam, and you can basically go anywhere by bike, by foot, by horse, with, of course, having respect to where you are and the environment you're in. And the sweetest one I've got to say was episode 4. It started in Dundonald, it finished in Pollew. It was about 50 kilometers over 1,200 meters of climbing and descending. And I'd heard a lot about it and I didn't really have any expectations set for it. And they were just completely blown from start to finish. You're traversing along the road. It's very much rolling hills, scenic green landscapes, of course, in the summer. And then you turn off the road and you start climbing up and you get through the first pass and it just opens up to this kind of unlimited mountain range that just keeps going and going. And then at that point, you're really deep in it. You're truly in the wilderness. People call it kind of the last wilderness of Scotland. It's in Fisher Fields. And just honestly, man, the mountains, the colors, the size of chunks of rock, and just the landscape was just, it was truly, truly beautiful. And it was just one of those rides that it was just like, wow, we're in the middle of this, and it just felt like we'd really stumbled on some super special single track.
Yeah, I mean, these videos, they are really great, and you do a good job by taking people with you on the journey, and it's like it's not a staged video. It's more like, come with me and I show you my Scotland. And as you already said, I mean, you heard a lot about some of these trails but haven't done it before. And since Scotland is so big and so many different countrysides and types of terrain, did you learn something about Scotland in this video episode or in this video summary, what you don't know before?
I think what I learned was just the pure vastness of the country and that, although there's a lot of connections and there's towns and there's roads, there's still a lot of wilderness to be had. And I think what was amazing was that, I'm not saying the first person to have done some of the pieces by bike, but there wouldn't have been many bikes there before. And I'm not sure how many people would actually pass through those mountain ranges by bike. And the paths are going back hundreds of years where they're used by farmers, by people who were working the land, and that was their only way to get to civilization as such, was to walk over those paths and then get a boat back to the mainland, perhaps. And actually riding you couldn't really imagine what, say, 50, 100, 200 years ago that would actually have been like, because with the advancements of technology for gear, for equipment, they've come so far, and it would have just been a totally different world. So I think what I learned from it was just how amazing it is to be out there in that environment, adventuring and exploring.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. So if people like to come to Scotland for the first time, I mean, since there are so many different opportunities, what would you recommend for people to write at the first visit in Scotland?
I'd say season one of my showcase would be the perfect kind of entry into discovering Scotland. You can plan a really, really good road trip from that. There's six different destinations, and in each one we hit two to three locations. And I think in season one we went to 18 different riding spots, something like that. And all of them are really, really good, but if I had to pick my favorites, it would probably be exploring a bit of Perthshire, exploring a bit of Aberdeenshire, perhaps doing a one day epic in Torridon, riding maybe Glenlivet Trail Centre, and then heading back down the road and finishing off with being in the Tweed Valley, because there's just so much to ride there. And that would be the perfect week's road trip. And it's pretty feasible. Unfortunately, if you were coming from further afield than the UK, you'd have to hire a car because there's not really a connected transport system to be able to ride at all these places. But it's really cool. And as you're driving to each location, the landscape's changing with it too. And it's a really fun exploration. I think it should be on every mountain biker's bucket list. I think it's a
Definitely.
pretty special place to come and ride.
Yeah, definitely. And just the Tweed Valley has so much trails, so you can stay there for 2 weeks easy and not riding all of the trails three or four times. But for me, Scotland is just it's a road trip country. So because it's so different at all the place and it's so much fun to explore. And I mean, last year we met in, was it a Boyne or what called the little valley, and you took us on some of the really the best trails I ever did. That was so great.
Yeah, man, that was really fun. Yeah, Boyne is it's growing. It's just the whole Aberdeenshire scene is getting bigger and bigger. Every time I go there's a new trail. There's so much energy in that area and that zone for mountain biking, and they really see it as a opportunity to capitalize on tourism and get more people into the area. So they want mountain bikers there, and I think that's really, really exciting for the sport, that, you know, a destination like Aberdeenshire, which is, it's actually really famous for oil, that they're thinking about what they can do to encourage more people to come and visit, and mountain biking is one of them.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm coming to Scotland for almost, I don't know, 15 years or 12 years, and for many years Aberdeenshire was not even on my list to go, and now it's one of the hot spots with so many super cool trails. And it feels like Scotland is developing as a country, as a pure mountain bike country. Is it like this, or is it just my feeling?
I definitely think they're putting a lot into making it better for mountain biking, making mountain bikers welcome, whether that's cafes, hotels, having bike hotels, making establishments aware that mountain biking is in the area. They are really, really trying, and that's down to an organization called Developing Mountain Biking in Scotland. They're working super hard to connect everything, to have trail associations, to try and make the sport as sustainable as possible. And, you know, you're right. Aberdeenshire, 5 years ago even, it probably wasn't massive. It had a few key trails, but not enough that it could tempt someone to come for a full day's riding, or even like a few days riding. It was like you'd maybe go for a day and that would be it. Whereas now you could go for 3-4 days, have a really good time, not ride in the same location twice, and go home and feel pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
This is really, really great, really great. And especially for me, seeing different parts of Scotland I don't know yet. That's good fun. So if people decided to coming to Scotland and following your showcase and exploring Scotland, what would be your typical Scotland essential you pick to go on a trip?
I probably think it'd be midger repellent.
Yeah, I mean,
especially May through to September, I'd say midger repellent, because dude, those things have teeth like piranhas. They're vicious, and when they come out and when they find you, which they will, they are relentless.
Yeah, so for people who don't know midges, it's not really like mosquitoes. They are way smaller, but way more annoying, I think. It's really, sometimes it's really horrible. So that's why I always come in April or May, because no midges. Weather is a little bit worse, but no midget.
Yeah, oh man, they're so bad. I think that it can be a make or a break of a trip sometimes as well. I mean, you know, you can totally luck out and you could come in July and it could be so hot that you don't even see them. But when it's that kind of damp weather where it's humid and warm, they just come out in flocks of them, and they don't, once they get going, they don't stop. They are hungry, hungry little things. And they're so small that you could easily be mistaken for them being innocent, but they swarm you. I think I've got some on the Dundonald to Poyeu. That was probably the only downfall of that ride, was we'd been dry all day. The last 1 hour, The rain came in, the weather completely changed, and the midges just came out and they were swarming us. There's a clip right at the end of the video where I'm talking to the camera and holding the camera, and I actually just can't do it anymore because they're just biting my face, like whipping my glasses off, just trying to get rid of them.
Right.
That's the only downside.
Yeah, these are crazy, especially when the light goes off and it's sunset. They are completely nuts. Yeah.
But I mean, most people, you know, we're different because when it's sunset, you're potentially thinking about getting some pictures or some video at golden hour. But for most people, they'd be in the bar, right? So they'd be fine.
Okay, so you're not just an expert for Scotland. I mean, you traveled a lot around the world with your bike, and you have seen some of the exotic countries in the world. What was your best trip so far with a mountain bike?
Best trip so far, I think, was Ecuador, man. I went to Ecuador with Thomas van der Ham, and it was just... Well, the video that we created from it was called Diversity. That's basically the only way I can sum it up. It was so diverse. One day we were riding in the jungle, the next day we're on a volcano. And it was just out of this world, the cultural experience. We rode through the backcountry of Cotopaxi National Park, ended up at, I don't even know what you'd call it. What do they call it again there? It's not a refuge, but it's like cowboy Indian setting. And it was just absolutely phenomenal. He was rounding up the cattle using lassos. He then cooked beef from his herd on the fire pits. It was honestly just one of those amazing trips that I will remember for, I think, for the rest of my life. And just really, really cool, the riding, the culture, the trails. You know, I'd always been a big Thomas van der Ham fan growing up, watching videos like New World Disorder. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm in Ecuador on the other side of the world riding with him. And it was just, it was so cool, man. It was really, really cool.
Sounds pretty, pretty epic. I mean, traveling with your bike, it's always special. It's not like traveling by foot or something where you don't have so much equipment. Traveling the bike is really hard. So what did you learn of traveling in so many different countries with your bike?
I think to be patient. I think to try and slow down and enjoy what you're doing and where you are. And that goes from right at the airport when you go to check in, because as soon as you get to the airport and you've got a bike in a bike bag and you're wheeling it through the airport, people start looking at you and they're like, what the hell is that? And I think that as soon as you get to check-in desk, like, talk to them, be nice, because they're probably thinking, what am I going to do with this big bag? And I think if you set the pace of the trip from the get-go, then that's how it's just going to follow through to the finish. And if you arrive at the airport stressed and tired and you're frustrated and you get a bad check-in experience, then yeah, it's never worked out. So I always try and go with plenty of time, chill out, check in, and then just, you know, get excited for the trip as you get going.
Yeah, that's
is that good advice?
It's a really good advice, because especially check-in is always, for me, it's always super stressful, because, I mean, you're allowed to have a bike in your bike bag and that's it and nothing else. But to be honest, do you really have just a bike in your bike bag?
No way. I've always got spares, helmet, shoes, tools, I've packed it full.
Yeah, and then it's quite heavy. So you really need to be nice to the people on the check-in counter to not paying all the money you have. So that's a pretty good advice.
I think I've had 50-50 luck with it. Sometimes you can get caught out and you have to pay, you know, maybe 500. I think the biggest bill that I've had to pay was $500.
Okay.
And then other times you just get away with it completely. And you just, like, come away from check-in and you're like, phew, I'm so glad they didn't weigh it. And
Yeah.
they just ask you like, hey, what's the weight of your bike? And you're like, 28 kilos. Okay, cool,
That's
that's
fine.
fine. Baggage check goes on and it goes to outsized baggage and no one bats an eyelid. And then other times you have to weigh it and you know that as soon as it goes onto those scales, there's a good chance you're going to have to pay extra.
Yeah, definitely. So I think allowed are 23 to 25 kilos, and my maximum was 50 kilos. And so that was on the way back from Alaska, and I had so much stuff in my bike bag, but I haven't had to pay for it. So I got really, really lucky because that could be a really, really high bill, I think.
Yeah, well, I thought that the actual maximum that you're allowed to fly with was 32 kilograms. So the fact that you got away with 50, that's unreal.
Yeah, it is. But you already talked about all the spare parts you take with, and especially if you're going to countries like Ecuador, or I mean, there are not too many bike stores. What is on your list of the spare parts you take with you?
So I'll always take a tire. I'm running Schwalbe, got the Magic Mary up front, Big Betty on the rear primarily for trips like these. And I'll always take a Magic Mary spare because that can do as a front or a rear tire. Then I'll take a mech hanger. That is one thing that I would recommend anyone to have because if you don't have a mech hanger, the chances of being able to get one are limited. I'll take a mech because that's going to be probably specific to my bike, but there is a chance that there's going to be a Shimano store somewhere there. I'll take a cable, I'll take a chain, I'll take an outer cable, disc pads, and then that's probably the majority of it. And then just go for a toolkit where I can do a basic overall service of my bike and also build it at the other end. Take a little pump, like a kind of mid-size pump that you can pump things up. I'm trying to think what else I'd take. Just a few bits and pieces like a spare chain link, tubeless plugs, and yeah, that's
Okay,
probably it.
so that's quite a lot, but it's super necessary to have, and especially tires. I mean, are you before you go to a country, you're checking what kind of terrain you can expect, or are you always riding with the same tires?
I'd say pretty much 90% of the time, I'm always running the same tires, especially for generally when I'm going somewhere, you're going for summer conditions, right? The Magic Mary up front, the Big Betty in the rear, that's kind of my go-to. I will occasionally put a Magic Mary front and rear, but that really is on the odd occasion.
Okay, so that sounds good, and it's a good advice as well what to take with you on a trip. And talking about trips, I mean, 2023, you can travel almost everywhere. What is on the list?
So I've actually just not long come back from Madeira. It was a split between a family holiday with a bit of biking thrown in for good measure. So that was really cool. I'd been to the island once before, but only for a very specific video shoot. So I didn't get to experience much of the trails. And to be honest, I've come back and was absolutely blown away by how good it was. It was so much fun. There was one trail that I think I'll always remember, and it had been freshly kind of reshaped. And you were coming into the turns, and you were just scandi flaking into them, turning down into them, and then the mud was blasting off your front tire onto your face. And it was like one of those days where you just click so well with the bike, and you just feel at one with it. And it was just, I was having the time of my life. I absolutely loved riding it, man. So much fun. So that was a really good start to the year.
Yeah,
And then
it
we've
sounds
got,
like.
yeah, it was. Yeah, it definitely was. Dude, I'm dreaming about it right now as we're having this conversation. Just, and it had a big ocean panoramic as well. So, it was just one of those really good moments. This year, what have we got planned? Some more stuff in Scotland. We're not doing another showcase. I feel that I've kind of ticked off what I want to do at the moment with the showcase. Could be brought back, but for the time being, I think I've got a really good dialed explanation of being able to ride in Scotland, no matter your style of riding, whether it's kind of bikepacking, adventuring, or just exploring the crazy trail network that we have. There is talk of doing a trip to Colombia that I'm not going to share too many details just yet, but that could be happening, which I'm excited about. I love South America. I've been there twice, once for Ecuador, like we're talking about earlier in the podcast, and then also for the EWS in 2014. You were there as well, right?
In Navarrete Chillán in Chile, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time, man. That was
Definitely.
a I really would love to go back there and ride some more. That was a cool place. So yeah, excited to take off Colombia. I'm hoping to go back to Madeira. I'll do some stuff in the Alps. There's talk of you and I doing a trip. Are we allowed to talk about that yet?
Yeah, we can, yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it will happen. I really hope that this trip will take place in what was the timing? So May, right? Or June. June.
May, I think May we said,
Yeah.
but it could be June.
It could be
It could
June.
be June.
Yeah.
And then I want to do some more stuff in the Alps. So yeah, there's plenty in the pipeline, and just pulling it all together is what's going to make it work. I'll be back out for Glenride and Salback in July. I always like going there, riding the trails, hanging out. Glenride's a good time as well.
Yeah. So sounds like a year with a lot of highlights and a lot of good travels. So
Yeah.
yeah, I wish you all the best for the season and that every trip will come together. And of course, I mean, as I said earlier, I will come to Scotland and visit you in, yeah, almost it's in 2 weeks. So hopefully we get some good weather, share some trails together, and then getting this trip dialed in for June. And then yeah. So thanks a lot for your time and see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to showing you some new trails and maybe drinking some whiskey. How does that sound?
That sounds really good. Really, really good. Thanks a lot and talk soon.
Nice.
Bye bye.
Thanks for having me. Cheers. Bye bye.
Bye bye.